This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the old saying is that a house divided cannot stand. Well, that apparently is what we have with the Minnesota house. I'm fascinated by this story. We bring in Tom Hauser, there's his theme music from KSTP Channel 5, the chief legislative, chief political reporter over there at KSTP. So how's this going to work, Tom? And first of all, I know there's still a couple of recounts happening, so do we for sure know now that it's going to be evenly split, 67-67?
You know, we don't know for sure, but it's about a 95 to 98% certainty. Whenever you have margins of, I think these two recounts are 13 and 28 votes, something like that, it's hard to overturn those unless there's a major tabulation error. Generally, if you're going to have something flip, it might be a 2 or 3 vote margin, and we don't have that. So I think that the Minnesota House, when January 14th rolls around for the legislative session, will be 67 Democrats, 67 Republicans, for the first time since 1979.
Well, and when you were still at KSTP, you had already been there about 10 years, right? And so you've seen this before. I'm kidding.
I was a senior in high school, as a matter of fact.
How about that?
But yeah, it goes back a ways. And, you know, it only lasted for 1 year. The following year, there was somebody had to leave the legislature. There was a special election, and the other party, I think the Democrats, won it. So then it went back to a 68-66. But for one glorious year, they were forced to try to share power. And you can imagine how well that goes. Imagine 2 4-year-olds, and you're asking them to share toys. You know generally how that works out.
Well, that's what I want to know, though. But like, because that, I wish they would. And of course, you know, Lisa Daymuth and Melissa Hortman are saying, okay, we'll work together. We're going to be, we have to work together. Of course, we all have our cynicism over that. But isn't there a promise, though, that because they have to work together, that actually they would?
Well, yeah, they'll have to work together because they're bound by the Constitution to come up with a balanced budget. And so they have no choice. The question is, how do you get from point A to point B, and how much chaos will there be in between? Lisa Daymuth and Melissa Hortman saying all the right things yesterday about how, you know, they'll have conversations this week and they'll start talking about how to do this. But, you know, each of them has 66 members that they have to satisfy as well. And there might be, out of those 66 on each side, maybe 24 different ideas on how this should all work, because somebody has to be elected Speaker of the House. There will not be a majority leader and a minority leader, because there is no majority and there is no minority. But they have to pick a House Speaker from one party or the other. And in 1979, the way they did it was Republicans got the speakership, but Democrats got control of the House Rules Committee, which you could argue is even more powerful than the House Speaker, because it sets the agenda. It decides which bills are going to get heard, how they get sent to committee. And so they're going to have to come up with some sort of a power sharing agreement like that. And it will not be easy.
Can you give us an idea, at least what you know and what of the players we have involved and how that might work? So clearly the precedent from 1979 would indicate that, okay, here's a candidate from our side who would be a good speaker that you might be amenable to if you have some other ideas, and then we'll give you this. So certainly this will be a big point of negotiation. Any idea how this might play out?
You know, no idea right now. I do know that they are looking at the so-called blueprint from 45 years ago about how they did it after the 78 elections, you know, going into the 79 legislative session. They're reviewing what happened then. And I know from talking to some Republicans who look back on that document, they feel like maybe even though they got the speakership, that that wasn't the big prize, because the speaker under that scenario can control the floor debate and, you know, who's out of order, who gets to speak next, some of those procedural things. But the Rules Committee gets to determine everything else, like what bills are going to get to the floor. And so I don't know that Republicans want to go back to that kind of arrangement, but what kind of a hybrid they might come up with, I don't know. But as somebody who's a student of political science, I'm going to be fascinated to watch how it plays out.
I am too, and I'm fascinated by this, and I'm very intrigued by it. Is it safe to assume that because it's split leadership, or split, it's a split house, and that the speaker would be a moderate from one of the parties?
You know, that would be a pretty good likelihood that they're going to not pick somebody from the far left or the far right. It would be somebody who maybe has a reputation for trying to work across the aisle. And it's purely speculation, because tonight the Democrats are going to choose who is going to be their leader going into this effort. It's almost certain to be Melissa Hortman. And then tomorrow morning, the Republicans will do the same. And that's almost certain to be Lisa Damith. And so once that happens, then those two leaders need to get together and start working out an agreement. I know in 1979, I talked to one of the last remaining lawmakers who was in the House at the time, Lyndon Carlson. He served 48 years in the Minnesota House. He retired in 2020, but I talked to him yesterday about this. And he said what they did back then was each party nominated five people. There were five member committees that then worked out this power sharing agreement. He said it took from just after the election in early November until late December. And I think there were even some final details that had to be worked out as the session began. So I imagine that same scenario is going to play out. Based on what I know about the legislature and how even under one party control last year, there was chaos at the end, I don't know how they come to an amicable agreement real quickly.
Well, you're not giving me much hope, because I look at this and I say, okay, for a two-party system to work, to for someone who cheers the middle and cheers cooperation and negotiation, I would hope that this would lay the groundwork for that. But if you had to choose that, okay, the House will be more like that, or more chaotic and divisive than ever, would you say that the latter is going to be true?
Well, and I don't mean to be cynical. It's just born of right. of experience. I mean, I've been covering the legislature since 1997. And again, even under one party control, there was, you know, chaos and division, because each of these chambers has different factions within.
Right.
Some that are further to the left, some that are further to the right, some that are more moderate. And it's trying to get all of them to agree. Anything is possible. The great thing is, you're right, this does force them to at least attempt to come up with a compromise, not just on the power sharing, but maybe a budget, because Republicans last year, in the last budget year, feel like they totally got rolled, and they did.
Yes.
They had very little input in the budget.
And on that, it's not the trifecta anymore. So the governor and the Senate, obviously still under Democratic control. But how does this limit what they can do as opposed to the last legislative session? How much will it limit?
You know, when you mentioned the governor, that brings up the whole other scenario. He has to come back now and kind of ride herd over this after he spent the last 3 months you know, vilifying Republicans. Mm-hmm. I know mostly Donald Trump,
yep.
but half the country and nearly half of Minnesota voted for Donald Trump. So he needs to mend some fences with Republicans and then try to get these two parties in the House to work together. And don't forget, the Senate only has a one-seat majority. And Nicole Mitchell's got legal proceedings yep. coming up on that burglary case that could lead to them going back to a tie, and then maybe a special election there, and then who knows what happens in the Senate. So, you know, all of this, it's a political stew, and I have no idea how it's going to taste when it's all done.
Oh, very nice wording there, Tom. Very good. Can we? Can you hang?
It's holiday season, and I'm kind of hungry.
It's stew season. I know you said you're hungry. Can you hang on for one more segment, though?
Absolutely.
Let's do that, because I want to talk about Governor Walz. Now, coming back to Minnesota, many would say tail between his legs. I want to find out what that means for the governor moving forward. Tom Hauser, chief political correspondent at KSTP, Channel 5, Eyewitness News. You hear him here on CCO often. We'll have more with Tom after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Continuing our conversation with Tom Hauser, chief political reporter for KSTP TV, Channel 5. He's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. I know you're a big Springsteen guy. Where do you stand on Gordon Lightfoot?
I love Gordon Lightfoot.
Thank you. That's the right answer.
Not as much as I love Bruce Springsteen, but I do love Gordon Lightfoot.
Did you ever get a chance to see Gordon Lightfoot in concert?
No, you know, I never did, but the thing I love about his music is that his songs all tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of maybe the same reason I like Bruce Springsteen. Many of his stories or his songs tell stories, and it's the same thing with Gordon Lightfoot.
A balladeer. So Tim Walz obviously will not become a vice president of the United States. He returned to Minnesota. How does this affect how he governs in the state, if at all?
Well, the biggest impact will be what we talked about in the last segment, the fact that he comes back to a legislature no longer fully in control of Democrats. So he's going to have to go back to what he had in his first term, where he's going to be dealing with divided government. You can't just ride roughshod over Republicans mm-hmm. like they could when they had the trifecta. So that's going to be the biggest thing. On a personal level, from Governor Walz, it's going to be a challenge for him, I think, to recalibrate from these hopes and expectations and aspirations of becoming vice president of the United States. And I think they truly were confident they were going to beat Donald Trump. In fact, I think in many ways they found it inconceivable they could lose to him, but they did. And so now he's back here in St. Paul. So just on a personal level, he's got to come to grips with that, and I think he will pretty quickly. He's got 2 years left in his term, and then he's got to start making some decisions about whether he wants to run for governor again, or, you know, who knows what other opportunities might open up. But it's going to be interesting to see. I don't anticipate him making any public appearances here in Minnesota until next week, probably at the earliest. But it is fascinating. He has not done one interview with anybody from the Minnesota media
mm-hmm.
since he was chosen as the vice presidential running mate back, August 7th? So it's been 3 months, I guess, 3 months ago today. And so he's got to get back in here and immerse himself in what's going to happen with the budget, because that's the big thing that they have to accomplish is passing another budget without the huge surplus they had last time around.
He has changed politically from a more moderate to certainly a much more progressive Democrat. Any chances, especially with the situation in the House, that we could see and mean a more moderate Tim Walz?
Well, he's going to have to moderate a little bit because he doesn't have the legislature fully under control of his party. So he's going to have to be willing to compromise, as will Democrats in the Senate and Democrats in the House. They're going to have to compromise like they didn't have to do in the last couple of years. So that is going to be a challenge, not just for the governor, but for state lawmakers.
On the question of whether or not he would run for a third term, considering what has happened with his failure to become vice president, and certainly the aspect that there's a lot of he has a lot of opposition in the state, certainly outside of the metro area, would you see him running for a third term?
I could see it, in terms of that opposition, you got to remember. Some of that vocal opposition that you and I both see yep. on social media is a bit illusory. I mean, our approval ratings that we get on our Survey USA surveys show him consistently above 50%. Mm-hmm. The only politician in the state who also achieves that is Amy Klobuchar. Now, whether that's going to change after this run, I don't know. But our last approval rating we did just a few weeks ago still had him, I think, at 52 or 53%. So there is a vocal minority that does not like Governor Walz. That's not unlike any politician.
Right.
People, from the other party don't like them. But he became kind of a lightning rod during COVID. And that continues to this day. And now he's become a lightning rod because of 3 months of bashing Donald Trump and J.D. Vance. And so whether he runs or not, I don't know. But here's some idle speculation. There is talk. We don't know whether Tina Smith is going to run 100% for Senate again in 26. If she were to decide not to, maybe Governor Walz will decide he kind of liked this national political scene again, like he had when he was in Congress. And maybe he might run for Senate. But, who knows? Royce White has already thrown his hat in the rings. It's not too soon to start speculating who might run against Tina Smith or instead of her if she chooses not to run.
Reading this article in the Minnesota Reformer from Christopher Ingram, talking about the average Minnesota legislative district swinging 2 points to the right in this latest election. Just your thoughts on that and how, if that is surprising to you or what kind of trend that that shows us.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me given, how well President-elect Donald Trump did. I think part of it is there's a lot of Minnesotans who wanted to see balance in state government as much as so many people say, oh, divided government means you can't get anything done. Well, there are supposed to be checks and balances so that one party doesn't run roughshod over the other party. And in our case in Minnesota, that's like half the state. Maybe didn't agree with some of these very progressive policies that were passed by the legislature. So it doesn't surprise me there was a shift to the right. And, a story I'm going to working on for tonight, maybe you saw I tweeted this yesterday. The real pronounced shift is in the congressional districts mm-hmm. where we no longer have even one congressional district you can consider to be competitive. Even Angie Craig in the second district, the one that was considered to be competitive, she won it by 14 points. And every single congressional race was a double-digit blowout. Hers was the closest, a 14-point win. And I think those 8 congressional seats, as long as those people who are in those seats now want to keep running, get used to looking at those 8 faces because they're not going anywhere unless they decide to give their seat up voluntarily. The greater Minnesota congressional seats locked in for Republicans, the metro area and the urban congressional districts locked in for Democrats.
Yeah, that's, again, for me, like just on a personal level and opinion-wise, that's not a good thing because there are fewer and fewer competitive House districts all across the country, which leads us to a lot of the blowhards that get elected and they really have no kind of consequence for some of the things they say. So that's troubling to anybody who hopes to have, you know, wants a competitive Congress and government.
You're probably familiar with the Cook Political Report that does these congressional ratings. Going into this election, I think they only had about 20 seats in the country out of 435 that were considered toss-ups, and maybe another 18 that were considered competitive. So about 40 out of 435, so less than 10% of congressional seats in the country are considered competitive. That's how the districts have all kind of locked down for one party or the other.
Lastly, I saw a note that Ken Martin, possibly a name being mentioned as national DNC chair. How likely is that?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. He's very well respected around the country. He's done amazing things for the Minnesota DFL party. They out fundraise. They out organize Republicans, and it's not even close. A lot of that has to do with Ken Martin. He's a very talented political operative, and I know in national political circles, he is very well respected. So that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Thank you, Tom. Appreciate the time today, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay, Adam. Have a great day.
Tom Hauser, chief political reporter at KSTP Channel 5. You hear him often here on CCO. Traffic and weather coming up next. Not a banger from Gordon Lightfoot on this one. Rainy day people. Lindsay, you disagree. Lindsay, by the way, introduce yourself to the WCCO listening audience.
Good afternoon, good morning, good evening. Time is a social construct. Welcome to the Chad Hartman Show.
And Lindsay, you are one of the newer employees here at WCCO Radio.
I am. I am indeed very excited to be here and to learn how everything works around here. And you guys have been a great host so far. And I meant to play the Edmund Fitzgerald, The Wreck. That's the only Gordon Lightfoot song I know.
Yeah.
And so I was going for the ultimate banger. And
that is the ultimate banger.
Paying attention to details failed me once again.
That's all right. So,
yeah,
all right.
It's all good.
Means it's still in the hopper.
Exactly.
Still in the hopper. Right. You're going to have to keep listening. That's a good tease. Keep listening. When you hear that Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, call in and see if you can remind us what day it happened. I cannot remember the last time I sold something on Facebook Marketplace. I think I tried it. So this is when I moved, I had a huge stereo system. When I was in college back in the late 90s, it was all about having a kick-ass stereo system.
I had one.
And the bigger, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Big components. You got the receiver. You got the 5-disc changer.
Yeah.
Still the tape deck, double tape deck where you could do high-speed dubbing. High-speed dubbing. I mean, that was a great advancement, high-speed dubbing. And the bigger the speakers, the better. I mean, my buddy Mike Nelson had huge Klipsch speakers. They were like 5 feet tall. And they put out some serious sound.
Get the light display on the front, too, showing the bars bouncing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That means anything to anybody.
It probably didn't even work. It was just like... But I tried to sell that. This would have been, 6 years ago or 7 years ago now on Facebook Marketplace. And it actually became to a point where I said, if you want it, come and get it.
Mm-hmm.
And not even a sniff. But I remember other times where I'd put things on Facebook Marketplace with a set price... And then people asking me questions, are you sure on that price? What is the price? And it's like, it's right there. It's a nightmare, in my experience, to put stuff on Facebook Marketplace and sell it. And I understand you're about to agree with me, David.
Nightmare is accurate.
Yeah.
Nightmare is accurate. Our washer kicked the bucket a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
So we've got a new washer dryer, the combo set, because you got them by both. You got a matching set.
Yep.
Got the matching set. They're arriving on Saturday. So the washer, I did actually put the washer on Facebook Marketplace saying free. If you want it, you think you can fix it, go ahead. It's all yours. Just so I don't have to pay somebody for the haul away.
Right.
But then the dryer still works great. It's older. It's 20-some years old. But, back in the time when appliance actually lasted.
Mm-hmm.
And
what brand of dryer, by the way, is it?
Maytag.
Maytag.
It was a Maytag.
Solid
piece of machinery is what that is. Still works great. We've never had a problem since we moved into the house, 13, 14 years ago, and said, all right, put it up there, $20.
$20?
That's all. It's 20-some years old.
And they have to come get it, obviously.
Yes, you got to come get it. Yep. It's not exactly hard to disconnect a dryer.
No.
It's an electric. Pull the plug, pull the thing out of the exhaust, and I got the hand cart out there, wheeled it out to the garage. It's just sitting out there right now. It's at $20. Just, I don't care. You're asking a little something for the effort.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'm not exactly exorbitant pricing here.
Yeah.
I have had two people ask me if I'll take 10.
Honestly, it's like you're getting a $20 perfectly good dryer.
Yes, exactly.
Is that people really just wanting to pay $10, or is it just for the ego boost saying,
oh, it's that.
I got him to lower the
price. It's exactly that. But worse than that is the amount of bots and scams now.
Really?
That will hit you on Facebook Marketplace.
I guess I don't know about that.
Yes.
Do tell.
Absolutely. And usually you can tell when... Often you will get a message almost immediately when you post something, and you know if that fast, it's clearly some sort of AI thing that picked up on something, and they're going to try to scam you. I don't know how they do it, but it obviously works to some level. Or I always check the profile of the account that's contacted me. And, if they've got no people they're following or nobody's following them and there's no profile picture or something, it's probably BS. So I've gotten at least 10 of those. And the amount of what I was assuming at the time were actual people asking, hey, is this available? Yes, absolutely. Yeah come on and get it. When's good for you? And then ghosting me from that. I mean, getting to the point of, hey, can I come by Wednesday? Absolutely. What time's good for you? Crickets.
Yeah.
Crickets. It's the most... I'm so tired of it. I'm so tired. I just want to get this thing out of my house and save the $60 that it's going to take for, whoever to haul it away.
Yeah.
And even today, one guy sent me a message this morning. Hey, I'd love to get the dryer. I'll pay you the $20. Can I come by this evening at 7?
Yeah.
I responded immediately. Absolutely. Come and get it. 7 sounds great. Here's my address. That was 5 hours ago.
What is that about?
Crickets.
What is that about? Explain that to me, because that happens all the time.
Yes, it does happen.
People just do not follow up on it.
Are they just looking for dryers and they find 10 of them and spam everybody and then leave 9 people in the lurch? I don't know. But I blame Zuckerberg. He set this thing up, and he's ruined my online life for the last week.
Lindsay, you were going to chime in here?
I've had several. I've had a lot of different thoughts. But I'm not a huge Facebook Marketplace person myself, but my mother is. She is one of those people that absolutely wants the deal. She got like 40 pairs of boots for $20 in May of this year. And I
what
was
kind
just,
of boots are we talking about?
Like,
what does your mother need so many boots?
Like you got, I don't even know. I'm not a fashionista person by any means, but I told her, you have excess boots if you wore one for every day of the month, and we're not even in the right season. So I don't know if she's been able to jettison some of those. I'm not sure. But that ghosting, I think that's just a societal lack of accountability. Nobody's really serious. I think they're just maybe looking for some friendship, Dave.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe they're just maybe it ended for
that. They want
that.
Correspondence. Like, they didn't want your dryers, the memories we made along the way.
I need a friend. Where should I look? We'll go for the dryer listings.
Beat Craigslist, though, right?
People who are selling appliances tend to be good quality people. That strike. I've some of my best friends I've met over appliance interactions on Facebook Marketplace. Somebody asking if you take $9 on the text line.
Of course. Yeah, of
What's
course.
The motor like?
Yeah, I had, like I told you, I put the washer on there too, free. Here, it's broken. Here's what's wrong. If you can fix it.
Yeah.
A guy seemed very serious about the washer. Great. That sounds great. Asked if I had a dryer to go with it. I said, I do have a dryer. I have posted that for this price. You're welcome to take that too.
Yeah.
Responds with, oh, I thought it would be free. I said, no, the dryer works. Guess what? Haven't heard from him. Can't pay the $20 for a washer and dryer, even obviously with the washer needing a little work.
651-461-9226. Somebody in the stylesfinancial.com talk line says, if I have something listed at $20 and somebody would ask me if I'll take 10 for it, I reply, no, but I'll take 25.
That's a good idea.
That's a good move. Dave, pay the recycling fee. Not worth all this effort. Spending too much time on the project.
I'm cheap. What can I say?
I think if you listen to that show, people realize that, right?
Yeah. If I can get a little money in my pocket and save the recycling fee, then you're double dipping right there.
I had a, so when we built our house in 2021, we had to upgrade the garage doors.
Built your house. Okay.
Yes. I physically Mansion. Built my house. Mm. That's right. I'm sorry. You're right. That was very pretentious. But we replaced the garage door openers. So I had this brand new garage door opener. You know, the bar and the motor and somebody reached out and were connected with them. They show up, they're in a very small car and they wanted to pay me cash, but I didn't have change to give them. So I said, okay, can you Venmo me the cash? Or sure, I will. And this is my mistake saying, you know, oh, well, give me the
trusting in humans.
Yeah, trust. Well, this person, they said it was for a church.
Okay.
Going to
okay.
Yeah. But he seemed like a great guy. You know, he drove away with the garage door sticking out the back window of his car. But I had his cell phone number. So, and I never got paid. And I said, hey, you going to pay? I called him like twice. Yep, you bet. And it never happened. Again, that's my mistake. I'm not saying, boy, this. You know, but that's again why I'm just too trusting of a person.
Yeah, you're a good person.
And I wanted to kind of get rid of it too.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a benefit of somebody taking off your hands. You don't have to worry about it in the garage. You don't have to pay the fee to get it recycled or take it out to the dump, whatever.
Somebody says, is this the sucker hotline? Yes, it is. Somebody's saying, Adam, I bought your ice house from you on Facebook Marketplace. That was a good deal, right? If that's really the person, yes. So I had a skid house, which is like, you know, my current ice fishing house is a wheelhouse where you can pull it like a trailer and like a camper.
Did you build that one yourself too?
I did not. No. Nor did I build the skid house, which is like a permanent. It's on skids and it was on Mille Lacs and it was a big, and I sold that on Marketplace. If that's really the guy, you got a really good deal on that because that nice. Was like, I just kind of wanted to get rid of it and had to drive up to Mille Lacs to sell it to him. If you want $20, post it for $40. That's the art of the deal, signed Donald J. Trump. 651-461-9226. Is it worth it anymore to put stuff on Facebook Marketplace, or is it just a constant disaster like Dave has had? I'll take your horror stories or your success story. 651-461-9226. Some will say too soon because we've got a few more days. November 10th.
Some would say it's never too soon.
Never
Adam.
Too soon. Never too close. Another great Gordon Lightfoot tune, by the way. 152, Adam Carter in for Chad Hartman today. Talking about Facebook Marketplace disasters. Dave trying to offload a dryer. And he's having quite a lot of difficulty in doing it. And people are shaming you for not just donating.
Cost me money to donate.
That's right.
At this point.
And then you'd have to move it.
Got to rent a trailer or something like that.
A lot of work.
Pick up is thought about donating a couch too. I've got a couch that's been sitting in the garage for 6 months now. It's like $150 for somebody to come pick it up to donate.
Right.
Come on. I'll pay a little bit, but $150 is getting insane.
Did it go to college?
Did it go to college?
That's a big
it's
thing
got a degree.
When it comes to buying a used couch. If it's been to college.
No. It has not been to college.
You know, just some questions.
Well, it's been in the garage for a long time.
That's
it's been covered. It's
right.
been covered.
Okay. I'm just
plastic
saying, bring
over.
A black light. That's all I'm saying.
Bring a black light.
Wow.
Just make sure you know what you're buying.
I did have a black light in college, as a matter of fact.
Lava lamp, too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You look like a lava lamp
guy.
I'll
tell you off air how I got the lava lamp. Jan has called in on the StylesFinancial.com talk line. Jan, please rescue us. I'm sure you had a great experience selling something or buying something on Facebook Marketplace.
Well, yes. We had a garage sale. And the way we do our garage sales is everything dollar unless it's marked otherwise. And sometimes, like a piece of art that is worth $500, we'll put $25 on there. So anyway,
wait a minute. I got to stop you there. Garage. Wait a minute. You're selling $500 artwork
like
for $25?
Van Gogh's?
Yeah, what?
We want to get rid of the things that we have in the garage. In the sale. And so everything's a dollar. And to be honest with you, it's very successful. We had a little boy's pair of pants. that had a slight stain on it, and the lady asked if she could get it for half price.
rip the pants in half and say, here's a leg, thank you.
Well, you know, I wish I mentally would have been prepared for that kind of a thing, because we had a garage sale a couple of years ago for the, did it the same way, everything a dollar. And I wish I'd have been prepared mentally, because I would have told her that she could pay $2, like somebody suggested earlier.
Yeah, double the
but
price.
I wasn't. Yeah, yeah. And the other thing would have been simply to say no, but you know you want to get rid of the stuff, so... You just do.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you for the call. Garage sales to me have never, I've always liked a whole lot of work for not a lot of return.
Yeah. No, and
I know people love it, and I know there's a certain segment of the population that loves still traveling around going to garage sales, and I get that. I mean, if I'm driving by one and something catches my eye, like the Papa Shot the one time, I drove by a guy who was selling a Papa Shot, and I rolled down the window and said, how much you want for that Papa Shot? He's like, $20. I said, hang on.
I'll give you home. 10.
I paid $20. I got a Papa Shot. I used it one time.
Every weekend, there's a weekend in May in our town. It's citywide garage sale weekend. And where our neighborhood is just slammed with people from all over. People take their Thursday and Friday off of work. Now sometimes Wednesday, because you got to start your sale early to beat the neighbors. And it floors me every year how many people make this a yearly, you know, quest to go, you know, conquer the garage sales of Woodbury and find what they can.
Yes.
And what I've also noticed, the same houses in the neighborhood have the same sales every year.
Yes.
And I swear to God, they have the same stuff. I don't know what they're selling because it's the same stuff as the previous 8 years.
We should have kept Jan on hold to get her address, though. If she's selling $500 pieces of artwork for $25, I'm there.
Get your hands on a Monet.
Sure. For $500. Like a Van Gogh for $500. Yeah. Not even a used Kleenex.
Or one of these
Come
ones,
on.
You know, where you buy like the painting and you cut open the back of the painting and there's a stack of cash there. It's like Apple. There's like Apple stock.
It's a Declaration of Independence.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the conversation. Somebody's saying, I'm confused why Lindsay is there. Lindsay, you want to explain why you're here?
I'm also confused.
Okay. She's also confused. There's your answer. We'll be back after this. News coming up and a way to generate some peace in your life that I'm about to pull the trigger on. I'll explain after the news.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.